Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open the scriptures, if you will. Gospel of John 16. Gospel of John 16. Kid, do you have a few minutes after class? Okay. All right. Gospel of John 16. Now, in regard to prayer, we need to be in prayer for Pam. She's having little things done today, so she's home lying down. John says she's taking the Jewish, he didn't call it pain reliever, but that's the idea. And the Jewish pain reliever is chicken noodle soup. So we need to be in prayer for Pam, John, and Judith's down, so we need to be in prayer for her. Courtney still has the baby in the womb, and she's very gingerly about whatever any movement she does, but she's doing that, so maybe next week things will be for the birth. And so let's see, what else do we need to be in prayer about?
Judy Hintz?
Yeah. She's doing a little better. Not real, but a little better. Each day, just back and forth. Okay, as far as all of that's concerned, yes, she's fine.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah, she's fine.
It's not a heart problem.
I'm sorry?
It's not a heart problem?
So far as they know right now, no. Nope. She knows she doesn't have any blockage anywhere. They did all that, so she seems to be okay in that respect. Yeah. Okay, please be in prayer in regard to our assembly and our financial condition, circumstances. So please be in prayer. We will have service Sunday morning, and then we'll have us a meeting and do some voting. Jim and I talked to Tony yesterday, and he's willing to work with us, and so he wants us to stay. So we'll just unless something miracle opens up, we'll just see. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Okay. You don't have a prayer request, Tish?
I could probably think of one.
Your hip. You got your hip. We can be in prayer for your hip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, your hip. And, I mean, if it seems like if you don't have something, you'll go out and get a snake bite. Just go, something for us to pray about. You're afraid that we won't pray. So, okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And I've been in the ministry over 35 years now, and we're getting ready to go into some super stuff on prayer and Jesus Christ. So let's be in the power of His Spirit for the leading. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity that we have to assemble ourselves here for the purpose of opening up the Word, fellowshipping in the Word, worshiping You in the Word, and the power of Your Spirit. Father, we pray that all that we do will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Now, what you want to realize is history is changing. And with history changing, with the incarnation, the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session of Jesus Christ, so many things are changing. The believer's relationship with the Holy Spirit is changing. With the sending of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit universally with believers. This is never happened before. But also prayer. I want you to think about what's going on. This will be the first time in history, the beginning of the church age, praying to the Father in Jesus' name. That's never been done. I don't know how long we want to talk about the earth before that, 3,000, 3,500 years, but it had never happened before to approach the throne of God, heaven. Now, they prayed in the Old Testament, of course. Many of David's prayers are recorded, but never in Jesus' name, never in that authority, that power, that adequacy, that glory. Has this ever happened before? So history is changing even in regard to prayer. Now, Jesus Christ has talked about prayer throughout the upper room discussion. Chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. So let's just look where we left off last week. And by the way, we will have study next Wednesday. I don't know if any of you looked and saw, well, is there going to be, because several months ago I thought we wouldn't. I thought John would be here. We'd go down to the pastor's conference, but I'm not going to go. So we're not going to go. Well, look who came in. Hi. And we will have service. We will have Bible study and fellowship next Wednesday night. And by the way, tomorrow morning, Steve's going to have a minor operation, so we need to be in prayer for Steve, one of our own. And you can be in prayer for me because I got to get up at 5 so I can be over at his house at 5:30, take him to the hospital. So I need, if you don't want to pray for him, pray for me. That was nice. Oh, me. Okay. But let's read verses 23 and 24 of John 16, getting into our understanding of a prayer. All right, 23. And in that day, you will ask me no question. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything, He will give it to you in My name. We're going to see how history has changed. Never before has anyone had to pray in Jesus' name. Never before has God answered prayer in Jesus' name. So we have two elements right here, just right off the cuff. We're going to pray in His name, and whenever God answers prayer, it's in His name. We'll have to find out what that phrase means. Verse 24, until now you've asked for nothing in My name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Okay, so let's take up some points now about prayer as we move into our study, because for a couple of weeks we're going to be looking at aspects of prayer. We're not going to look at prayer preparation, prayer, and prayer pursuit. And I hope you have that down. And but we're going to look at some other aspects of prayer from the study of Jesus Christ. Just like in our study, in our gospel basic study, the last couple of weeks we've been looking at the study of the Holy Spirit strictly from the teaching of Jesus Christ. I've never seen that before. Just by the teaching of Jesus Christ about the Holy Spirit. Well, now we're going to look at some things about prayer from Jesus Christ. Okay? So, first of all, the first thing we learn about prayer is that we are instructed to pray by Jesus Christ Himself as our Savior. Jesus Christ instructs us to pray. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our friend. Why should we pray? Because Jesus Christ instructs us to pray. I say to you, teach you, instruct you. It's for your advantage. All the teaching that Jesus Christ did is for their advantage and our advantage. If you shall ask the Father. Point two. So point one, why should we pray? Jesus Christ instructs us to pray. In our study of prayer from Jesus Christ, in the upper room, we'll go back a little bit, and in wherever they are in chapter 16. Somewhere they've left the upper room, we know that from the end of chapter 14. Where the discussion of chapter 15 and chapter 16 took place, either on the way as they left the upper room, somewhere in Jerusalem, on their way to the Mount of Olives. I'm assuming it's going to be in the city because they didn't have street lights. So I doubt it was out in the garden in just total darkness. So just where it doesn't even matter. Point two. Prayer is the way we ask God the Father for anything. Prayer is a word that is used. What does prayer mean? Prayer is talking with the Father. Asking the Father, talking with the Father, thanking the Father. So prayer is the way we ask God the Father for anything. Now if you're ready, it says, if you shall ask the Father. Okay, you're ready for this. This is the aorist, active, subjunctive of our old friend, which we saw last week, ateo. And that's A-I-T-E long O. Ateo. And the reason that you're familiar with this is, it means to ask or to request, and this word emphasizes from an inferior to a superior. The believer to God the Father. See, we'll see a different word, like we saw last week, when Jesus Christ talks to the Father. But here, it's you and I, when you ask the Father, eritao, the aorist tense, looks at your prayer in the whole, looks at it as a fact. Learned something interesting from Kenneth Wiest. That the normal tense is the aorist tense. And when a writer of Scripture uses any other tense, perfect tense, present tense, he's going out of his way to make a point that the aorist tense is just, it's a fact. That's what the aorist tense says. So, the fact of their prayer. Now, the active voice, you have to make this prayer request. Ah, the subjunctive mood. Here it is. See, first part of the problem. Maybe you will ask the Father. Maybe you will not ask the Father. It's entirely up to you. Sometimes we ask, sometimes we don't. So the subjunctive mood here is your choice. You get to ask God the Father. Now, there are a lot of things we want to add to this, people. And we will as we go through this. And I'm going to give you the whole thing in one little sentence here. Because we've got to pray in the Spirit, according to His will, in His name, a lot of things. But so we're building this. So the subjunctive mood says, maybe you will ask, maybe you will not. It's a shame, but many believers lose confidence in prayer. Partly because they've been taught improperly about prayer, and therefore prayer abuse and disappointment. Well, he doesn't answer prayer. I prayed, and I even said at the end of my prayer, in Jesus' name! And he didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to. See? No is an answer to prayer. You do realize that. No is an answer. It's not the answer we wanted, but no is an answer. I don't mind no, and I certainly like yes. What I don't like is when God says, what? That bothers me when God says that to me. But so, and I'm just being funny. So, an attempt at being whimsical. But so here's the point. That so many believers do not pray as they ought. They're despondent with prayer. They don't see the benefit in prayer. And all these types of problems with prayer, but prayer abuse. People, we do not control God by our prayers. He's not a genie. Rub the lantern, genie comes out, you get three wishes. You don't get three prayers that God will answer the way you want them to. Got to understand this wonderful thing that we have, this privilege that we have before God that's unlike any other time in history. Now that Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Prayer is just a marvelous thing that we have with God. And so many will not even pray. And so just because they prayed something to God, He didn't answer the prayer the way they wanted. What does it mean? If you ask the Father, He'll answer you. He'll give it to you. Well, I've asked Him. And I even threw in Jesus' name. And all of this kind of thing. What's going on with these verses, see? And so the subjunctive mood here is very, very important. I'll never forget when we were little lads. My cousins came over from Galveston to visit. And my older cousins, the same age as my older brother. And I wasn't there, but they told after later that afternoon... Toby was bowing his head and praying. And so Conrad gets up under his face and says, who are you talking to? But it's prayer. We got to learn about prayer and utilize it constantly throughout the day. Just pray as you go along and all this kind of... And if you stay in the filling of the Spirit, you can do that. Okay, point three. Praying to God the Father is but an extension of talking, asking Jesus Christ. Praying to God the Father is but an extension of praying, asking, talking with Jesus Christ Himself during His absence. The disciples were ordinary men. They talked with the Lord. They just talked with the Lord about anything they wanted to talk to Him about. And people, this is a pattern for us. He's our friend. So now that He's not here, we go to God the Father. And I'm going to come to Jesus Christ sitting next to God the Father and dealing with prayer coming up in the verses following. So, putting aside for a moment the difference in the two different words to ask, one is a familiar friend, talking with a familiar friend, and ateo, the one we have on the board, this is an inferior to a superior. Setting these words aside for a moment, to stay with the principle of asking and requesting, Jesus Christ moves from their talking, asking Him, to talking and asking God. See? This is beautiful. This is really what He's doing. You've been talking with me, asking me, and I'm leaving. So now you're going to be talking and asking God the Father. Once Jesus Christ leaves, they're going to ask God the Father. Now what I find interesting is in verses 17 through 18, whatever reason they did not want to go and talk with Jesus Christ, their friend. Just look back, see what I'm talking about. Verse 17 of chapter 16, some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us about? A little while and you will not behold me, and a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. And so they were saying, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he's talking about. And I'll tell you what, maybe not in those words until now, but I've been studying the Bible, and there'll be times, I don't know what this is talking about. You know, there used to be a day at a time when I just felt I had to know it all and make up an answer. And how, what wonderful freedom in the mid-1990s, when I just, in the power of the Spirit, I don't know. And such peace about it. I don't know. I'll look it up. I'll check it out. I'm not even guaranteeing it. I'll come up with it then. And there's just something wonderful about having that kind of freedom. But here they just, we don't know what he's talking about. And I'm a little wanting of the understanding, why didn't they want to just go talk to Jesus Christ, their friend? And my point here, people, is don't be afraid to go and talk to God the Father about anything. He is, I hate this expression, but he's a big, big God. He can handle your anger. He can handle your bitterness. He can handle your uncertainty. He can handle all of these things in just talking with him. One of my favorite scenes in movies is in The Apostle, when the apostle is up in the attic, his mother's house, and he's just having it out with God. I call you Lord, you call me Sonny. Da 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 da. And boy, he was just going at it with God. And there's something wonderful about that relationship with the Father, people. You want to be respectful. He is superior. He is God. But he's your Father. And we ought to be able to just go with him and address and talk with him. You can tell him you're angry. You can tell him you're disappointed. And all of these types of things. He's a loving Father. He can handle direct prayers. You're not going to shake him up. You're not going to say anything he hasn't ever heard. And just have that freedom in your prayers with him. So, if we made a list of all the questions and conversations between the disciples and Jesus Christ, we'd probably have a good idea about praying to God the Father. Now, due to the fact that Jesus Christ is absent from the earth, fundamentally prayers in the church age are addressed to God the Father, not to the Son, not to the Spirit. See? But, to add to this, we are to pray in the power and in the leading of the Spirit, which we'll come to eventually here. So, verse 23, if you asked the Father in my name, all right, point four, privilege of prayer. The privilege and grace of prayer. We have seen that the Greek word for our prayers to the Father is aiteo, A-I-T-E-O, inferior to superior, but he is our Father. This is both a privilege, and it's a privilege built on grace. The fact that we can go to him in prayer. This is an unbelievable God. This is not a God that we have to fear and all of these types of things, like the idols of idolatrous people. It's not that kind of, he's a God we can go to. It's very interesting. Most of the religions, major religions in the world, Muslim religion, they don't pray like we do. They have ritual prayer. When they're down on their blanket and bowing and hitting their head on the ground and all this kind of stuff and this type of thing, it's a ritual prayer. They don't have a personal God. Very few idolatrous people have a personal God that you just go to and pray and talk with, cry to, plead with, thank, praise, glorify, all these kinds of things that we do in prayer. He's a personal God. He's a personal, loving God. And it is a grace privilege that we have to go to Him in prayer. So every time you pray, people, would you understand something? You're in the realm of grace. You're exercising a grace privilege. I don't care if it's just thanking Him for food, and I certainly hope you do that. I know a lot of people, they're just too embarrassed to really thank Him in prayer for their food. I'll never forget one class in seminary where the professor went through, he had a whole long fund, the professors do this kind of stuff, but he had a whole long list of, and he had names for different kind of people and how they thank God for food. And he had a name for people that do it in the car before they go in. They don't want to cause a scene or try, so they do it in the car. And then there's the drop the napkin in the prayer, you know, you drop the napkin, you're going to thank you, Father, for this food. And then you come up, and all he had about, I don't know how many, maybe 10, but he had a whole bunch of different things, the way that people do it. There's nothing wrong buying your head, thank you, Father, for this food. If I'm with people, I say it out loud. If I'm by myself, I just pray by myself. And it just is, I don't, it's not for show, but I'm not going to withdraw from it to maybe not offend somebody. And so it's just, it's a privileged prayer. And every time you do it, just remember, I don't care if you're just thanking Him for food. Thank you. You are in a wonderful grace privilege with the Heavenly Father. And where did you get this privilege? Where did you get this privilege? In Christ's name. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of going to the Father in prayer. And I want to repeat that. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of going to God the Father in prayer. So this is a wonderful aspect of our life. And people should just do it all the time. And one of the humorous things in dealing with prayer was in the movie Blast from the Past. And I don't know if you saw it, remember it, but I love that movie. And he is in a restaurant with this late girl that he met and all this stuff. But anyway, and he just takes her hand, and he just starts, and boy, people, he prayed a little bit louder than I do, but people were turning around looking at him and all of this, and so it's, but people, this is a wonderful thing, and I hope you just have it as a daily routine in throughout the day of praying, because it's a grace privilege, see? So to pray for Him because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the principle in our study, never before in all history has anyone prayed to God the Father in Jesus' name. Before now. This is powerful. I mean, we have moved in a different level with God the Father now than even David had. So this becomes something wonderful. So point four, the privilege and grace of prayer. And so we have this privilege of prayer because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, His Son. Point five. The extent of prayer request. The extent of prayer request for anything. King James, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. NIV, whatever you ask. The extent, the prayer request. Now, there's going to be some conditions to all of this in Jesus' name, authority, power, but whatever you ask. And I hope you've been bold about the finances of this church. I sure have. And just lay it out there. So, the extent of the prayer request, whatsoever. It's a Greek relative pronoun. How much, how great, as much as, this type of thing. So you're not limited. Point six. the condition of prayer. Condition of prayer. In my name. In his name, he will answer the prayer. This phrase occurs three times. Verse 23, verse 24, verses we read before class, and of all places, chapter 7, verse 26. Excuse me, chapter, 17. Is it 17:26? Let me see what my computer did. And, no, it wasn't that one. But, wait, yes, it is. Yes, chapter 17, verse 26. And I have made thy name known. No, so it isn't my name. So, but it's in chapter 3, verse 23, verse 24, and verse 26. Let's see, and you shall ask the Father in my name. So it's verse 26 here. I know what happened. The 7 is the and it didn't do that. Okay. At and verse 26. So that's where I'm getting the 7th. Okay. All right. So it's vital to our understanding of prayer. Here is the privilege of prayer, the condition of prayer that will guide us in our prayer. People, there is so much to grasp in the phrase, ask in my name. Let me just, by way of quick introduction, because we're going to look at some things. First of all, this is not a formula to control God. It's a lot of confusion about this phrase, in my name, in Jesus' name. A lot of confusion. This is not a phrase where you get to control God and God will answer your prayer if you just stick that on the end of your prayer. It's not a formula that, by which you have to end a prayer. You do not have to have that in your prayers. I do, as an example, when I pray publicly. But you don't have to say, in Jesus' name. Don't make it some ritual. And it's not some magic formula. You don't have to say it. So what does it mean? Let's go through some things. We're under Roman point 6, so let's take subpoint 1. Point 6, condition of prayer in my name, subpoint 1. It means we're going to God the Father because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. We establish that relationship with Christ by faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. So in my name means we're going to the Father because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. God the Father will recognize us in Christ. We saw this a couple of weeks ago, remember, where we took up the phrase, you know the Father, rather known by the Father. How important that is, to be known by Him. So how does the Father know us when we come to Him in prayer? In Jesus' name means we're coming on the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Coming in the name of Jesus Christ is not just name-dropping people, hoping to get in the door. This means that we are in relationship with Him, and by being in Christ, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit, we're recognized by God the Father, coming to Him, and therefore, yes, come on in. You're my son. I recognize you. I come in Jesus' name. Come on in. As it were, just give it a picture of prayer form here. So, come in. Yes. See, Jesus, Joshua, Jehovah, Savior, Christ, God's anointed, Messiah, Lord, Adonai. So when we come to God the Father and we utter these words in Jesus' name, what are we saying? We're recognizing that Jesus is deity, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that we are related to Him. We are in relationship with Him. Going back to our idea, be like if a king or the president or somebody, and you're at the door, and you say, I request to come in Jesus' name. He says, yes, you're in my son. Come in. Come on up. Let's talk. Sit down. Sit down and tell me what you got. Let me hear your prayer. That's the idea, picturesque idea of what's going on with this idea. So when we say that, we're recognizing He is our Savior. We're recognizing that we have been baptized into Him by the Holy Spirit, that we are in relationship with Him. That He is the one sent by God the Father to save us, and then He is the one sent by God the Father to bring us to God the Father. This is why prayer is for the Christian only, people. Only for those who are in Jesus Christ can pray in His name. I'm sorry. You have to be in Him to pray in His name. It is in Jesus' name, no other name. No other name for salvation. No other name for the privilege of prayer. No other name. I'm here on my benefit. I'm here on my behalf. I'm here in my name. I'm here because I've done all these things for you. No. I'm here in this celebrity's name, in this preacher's name, in this denomination's name, and all this other stuff. I'm here in the name of Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm here because of Saint so-and-so. I'm on... No, 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 no. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and there is no other name that gets us privilege of prayer to God the Father than the name of Jesus Christ. That's how important this is to understand this. Secondly, this came from a theologian, Boyce, B-O-I-C-E. Praying in the name of Jesus means praying on the basis of His merit. Praying on the basis of His merit and not on the basis of any merit of our own. Praying in the name of Jesus means praying on the merit of Jesus Christ, not on the basis of any merit of our own. It is amazing how many believers do not think they're good enough to come and make their request known to God in prayer. They've sinned. They know they're no good. They haven't been to church. See? All this type of thing. So they know, you know, I'm just no good. So they conclude they're not good enough to go to God in prayer. People, if you take notes, put in your notes, if not, put it in your head, none of us are good enough to pray to God the Father on our own merit. None of us are ever good enough to pray to God on our own merit. None of us can even earn the right to pray to God the Father. I don't know where this came from. It's in my notes. You are never so bad that you cannot pray, and you are never good enough to pray on your own merit. You are never so bad that you cannot pray, and you are never good enough to pray on your own merit. And people understand there are Christians who either consciously or subconsciously think they deserve the right to pray. They deserve the right to pray. It is some type of reward for them that God would answer their prayers and let them come to Him. They serve Him. They have emotional experiences for Him. They study for Him. And so they really deserve the right to pray and to have God answer their prayer. But just understand, no one is good enough in your own person to earn the merit of praying to God the Father. I don't care if it's even thanking Him. I don't care if it's praising Him. You don't earn that right. You do not earn it. Don't want to get legalistic? Thankful that we're not legalistic? But there's things to be said about the respect of God. The Jews have such respect, they won't even pronounce His sacred name. Won't even pronounce it. I don't think we should have that limit. But we ought to have that kind of respect to whom we're speaking. I don't even earn the right to speak to you. I do not have that right. I do not have the merit. I am not worthy to speak to you. That should be kind of our thought. I'm not worthy to. I'm not even worthy to thank you for this food. I'm not worthy to make my request be made known to you. I'm not worthy of that. You're God. I'm a finite sinner. I'm not worthy. And then you look at who you are in Christ. And you say, okay, Father, I'm not worthy to come to you, but in Jesus' name, I come to you. See? See, that's what this is going on. I'm not worthy. I'm not even worthy to come before you. I'm not worthy to talk with you. I'm not worthy to address you. So I come to you in Jesus' name. I come to you in Jesus' place. Our prayers are on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ. It is on the merit of Jesus Christ that we have the grace privilege of prayer to God the Father. Our salvation is on the basis of the merit of Jesus Christ, isn't it? So is the privilege of prayer. It's on the basis of Christ. None of us are in the right or privilege to come before God. I don't care how good you've been, how bad you are. We just don't have it. Our attitude should be, I just have no right to even go there. Have no right whatsoever. But in Jesus' name, because of my place in Jesus Christ, I can come. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, as we're going to see, is the basis of the merit of Christ before us. To pray in the name of Jesus Christ is to pray on the basis of His merit only. We have no claim upon which to pray to God the Father. Not because of my work, all that I'm doing for you. I've been doing some things for you and I want to talk to you about it. Don't have that privilege. Not on the basis of being moral or good. I don't steal. I keep the whole 10 and all this type of thing. No. Well, because I know a whole lot. I know a whole lot of the Bible. See, I know just so much. And I know what to ask for. Ah, see? I don't take up your time. I don't waste your time. I got a whole knowledge of doctrine, and I know what to ask for. Just here it is, and let me go. Don't have that right. Oh, I serve you. I serve you, and I'm asking on the basis of my service for you. I emote for you. I'm asking this blessing, this charismatic experience. People, we have no right. None. None of these that I've mentioned or any others establish any claim to God for the privilege of praying. So it's no, I do not come on the basis of my name. I do not come on the basis of my person. I have nothing to offer you that you should hear me, much less even answer my prayer. Therefore, it's in His name that I come before you. This would be our thought. Be our thought pattern. Even if it's thanking Him for food, it's for thanking. I don't have a right to thank you. So in Jesus' name, I come before you. Whether you say it or not, it's your thinking. It's in His person. Point three. Subpoint three. One that we've noted many times. Praying in Jesus' name is praying in reference to the glory of Jesus Christ, not ours. Praying in line with His objectives. His purpose. His purpose, glorifying God the Father. His purpose in reference to man, salvation of all mankind. His purpose in reference to His body, glorifying the Father. Got to know His purpose. I come in the King's name. Means that you come requesting what the King himself would request. That's what it means. What I'm doing to you, this is what the King would have me do. Now, the King's sitting right next to you, Father. I come in his name. And what I'm praying to you is what he would pray. This may guide us in, you know what, I don't know, I need to be praying what I was going to pray here. That's the prayer preparation part. Determining what we can really... Would Jesus Christ pray this? Probably not. Well, then scratch it. Take that off. Well, what do you regret? By the time we get through, we may just have one or two little things there left. Started off with about 20. Go through, but I'm praying for the King, and I'm praying what the King would ask. I'm praying what Jesus Christ would ask. You might want to be very sure you're in solid ground. Now, question. How can I know what Jesus Christ would ask? How can I know what Jesus Christ would desire? Okay. Two answers. One, by the Word of God. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Peter beckons us. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Become very familiar with Jesus Christ. And you would know what he would request. Secondly, and of course, by the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. By the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Look with me at 2 Peter for a moment. It's a Bible class, so let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Wow. I want money. Money, God! Give me money! No, grace and peace be multiplied to you. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And where are you going to get this knowledge? From the study of His Word. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Knowledge of God the Father and knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. That's what's going on in this context. Look at verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and increasing... People, you're either moving backward or forward. There's no such thing as stagnant, standing still. You never stand still. If you're standing still, you're moving backward. Are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? It's the knowledge of Him. This is why we have Bible class. People, I wish we had it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and twice on Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night. That would not be too much, in my opinion. Today's gas price, that might be. But just for the worshiping of it and the understanding of it, this just spending our time in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So look at verse 7, or look at verse 8 again. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. People, you can have knowledge of Christ and be non-fruitful and useless. Think about that. Have a lot of knowledge and be fruitless. and useless. I think I've told you many times, we had to study a lot of men in seminary. We wrote books and volumes, cover this wall, some of them, and all this thing. They didn't know him. They didn't know him. They didn't even know that you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. But they have books on Jesus. Books on the Bible. Useless. Fruitless. In fact, they got in the way. Got in the way. Look at chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. Powerful way that Peter ends his letter. Powerful way to end it. But grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Kurios. He said, Kurios, our Lord, our Savior, Messiah, Anointed One. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. But grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know what all the people that come on Sunday morning do. I don't know if they're listening and the stuff, but If they're just getting fed, especially those that just come to the second class on Sunday morning, people, that's not enough. That's not enough to be a thin person. You're going to die of malnutrition if you just eat that, and that's it. That's all you eat and drink. You're going to die. Get to the water hole. Get to the chow line. You're dying. To grow in it. Knowledge. Continually growing in it. So you desire to know Jesus Christ. You desire to know how Jesus Christ would pray. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Get to know Him personally, intimately. You desire to know how He would pray. Know how He would love. Know how He would love. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, one more time, a moment. Yes?
Pray in the Holy Spirit. How does that clarify the part, was it in 22, where it says, ask anything, or whatever you shall ask, you know, clarify that one.
In John 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming there. No, it's a good question. And I'm building up to get there. First of all, we want to know what it means to pray in His name. And then we're going to talk about praying anything. And then we're going to tell you that He will do it. So let's build it. Okay? All right. Okay. Yes.
Because that has been so abused.
Absolutely.
I mean, hugely abused.
Yes. The main problem comes, people, in not knowing what in Jesus' name means. And then secondly, knowing how to pray that way. And we relate so many things to ourselves personally. The spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a shoe-in. God will answer one way or the other. He will answer it. Now, having said that, He kept Paul out of going into Asia. Paul wanted to go and take the gospel. Holy Spirit said no. See? So how are we going to know?
Well, he answered his prayer.
I'm sorry?
He kind of answered his prayer. Like you said, he answered his no.
Yeah. Yes. Not right then. So, the thing is, it's so many parts. One, knowing what in His name means. Two, and knowing how He would pray, what He would ask for. And that type of thing. And then understanding that God is going to answer, that He's going to work out all things together for good. We'll come to that, put that into the whole equation. How He's going to answer all of these prayers. But don't ever think it's the idea, I prayed and I've got Jesus' whole glory at issue here. Like, if you help me win the lottery, 100% I give to the church. 100%. Now, what could be more in Jesus' name than that? What could be more for the benefit and the glory of Jesus than that? I'm giving it all. Have you ever thought about you've taken away from the people that place to give and give sacrificially? If we just didn't need any money, we just had it, people wouldn't give. But not give. Miss out on that wonderful opportunity, privilege that we have of giving. So God has so many aspects that He's working with an individual, with a marriage, with a family, with a local assembly. Local assembly, He's got to work it out with all the people involved. All the people involved. I've already made up my mind what we're going to do when I finish the Gospel Basics on the early Sunday morning. We are going to take a run through 1 Corinthians. I thought about doing Acts. I thought about doing 1 John. And just kept praying and reading here and there. And we're going to deal with the first chapter just gets right into the local assembly. And we're going to be seeing some wonderful riches about it. But what I'm saying is that God is going to answer these prayers in reference to all the things that He's working on. All the things that He's doing. We see it this way. But He sees this whole area. This whole, and our just our assembly. He sees it in regard to the whole assembly. And we can look at different things from this, from where we are in our assembly, from different perspectives. Alright, are we going to have the money to continue? Alright, that's a domino effect. Not only is there the limited money among people in the assembly, and I do know that there are families that just used to give and cannot give. They just cannot give. Okay? And then there are others who can. So you got that whole thing working. And then you've got, okay, now the missionaries are affected. The young people are affected. Our outreach is affected. So it's a domino effect. God knows all of that. We don't need to say, now God, don't you understand? Oh, don't you see what you're doing here? He knows all of this. And He's working it all together. The local assembly, the outreach, the young people, the missionaries, everything. So He's got so many things going on. But He will answer those prayers that are prayed in Jesus' name, for Jesus' benefit, and Jesus is what Jesus Himself would ask for and request. But it's so difficult sometimes for us to see these things. I mean, how many of us would pray, would have, if we could have, that the Romans didn't beat me, didn't crucify me, didn't do this, didn't do that. So we've got to know what God is doing, what God is not doing. That old thing is, I think one thing we can give thanks for is prayers that He didn't answer, we prayed for our own benefit. Thank God He didn't answer those prayers. See? So there's just so much that is involved in this whole area. And as we continue to build on it, if we don't answer your question, come back at me. Don't let me slip by. Just keep coming back at me. Okay? Alright. Alright, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God, for the written Scripture. And we thank You, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who opens our eyes to understand the things and that You would have us to understand, things that You would have us to see. I pray, Father, You'll take these things we've seen, the privilege, the grace privilege we have in prayer, the extent of our prayer whatsoever, all these things that we have examined, let them settle into our souls, Heavenly Father, and bring us back that we can explore and understand more and more of this wonderful grace privilege we have in Jesus Christ to pray to you, to come to the sovereign God of the universe and call you Father, Abba, and then let our request be made known. Father, we praise you that you're a personal God, that you're a loving God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.